Welcome to the Purpose Founder Podcast. We're so excited that you're here. This is a weekly recap of the Life Gathering that happens on Wednesdays at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. Join our Facebook discipleship page and receive updates and content information and connect with people from all around the world. We're so excited that you're joining us today.
We're going to go back to the book of Romans. I know last time that I was with you guys a couple weeks ago, we were in Romans chapter 3. And so now we are actually going to be in Romans chapter 6. So if you guys have a Bible, if you want to write some stuff down, this is going to be a really, really good message to write some stuff down, take some notes, write verses down, because there's a lot that we are going to unpack in this today. So in this sixth chapter of Romans, right, Paul is talking about how we are no longer under the power of sin when we are in Christ, right? Paulus will say, and we'll see this here in a little bit, that we were slaves to sin, but now we are slaves to righteousness. And so what does that mean for us as Christ followers, as people who maybe don't know Jesus? What does that look like for us? And so chapter six in itself, it's not super long, it's only 23 verses, but man, is it full. My goodness, there is so much in this that Paul talks about. So verses 1-14, they talk about the little heading at the top of this chapter, or the top of this section, says dead to sin, alive in Christ, right? And that's kind of what Paul is talking about, how we were buried with sin, we were buried with Christ, and that means we are dead to sin, that we should no longer go back to sin. And now that we are raised to a new life with Christ, that is the kind of life we should be living. And so then Paul goes on to talk about more, which is in verse 15, which is where we are going to pick up in this week's message in just a moment. But I'm going to go ahead and give you the title of this message. I called this one, Choose Your Master. This is the title of this message, Choose Your Master. So Lord, thank you for this time. God, thank you for every single person on this call. Thank you, God, that this is time that is given. God, it is not something that is to be taken for granted. Lord, we don't take your word for granted, but God, we just pray that it would go forth and it would penetrate our hearts. God, that it would penetrate even my heart, Lord. And as I have been studying this, Lord, help me to understand it and to apply it into my life. And for all of everyone on this call, may we be able to understand what this is saying, God, and not just let it go in one ear and out the other, but that it would penetrate, God, it would sink into our hearts and that we would find freedom through this message. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. So I want to give a quick disclaimer, just kind of talk about this real quick. So the language that Paul uses in this chapter in the book of Romans, right? So Paul's audience is a Roman audience, right? Meaning that a lot of these Christians are slaves. A lot of the language deals with slaves and of masters of this pagan culture that these Christians are living in, and these sinful ways and the patterns of the world, and those who are trying to follow Christ. Paul is talking to these people who are trying to follow Christ in the midst of all of this, right? And he's using this kind of language not to degrade the people, but to give them something they can understand and relate to, right? Sometimes we read through parables and we think of what Jesus has said about farming and agriculture. And some of us, especially on the Western side of the world, we don't really understand that too much because we're not involved with that. Some of you around the world maybe understand that better. But right, so Paul's not using this language to degrade anybody or to say they're less than or anything like that. He's saying this to help them understand, right? So he's saying this so they can understand, how do they live freely even though they're slaves? How do they spread the gospel even though they can't go anywhere? How do they witness for Christ when they seemingly have no voice to give a witness to? So that's why Paul is using this kind of language. So we're going to jump into verse 15. And so Paul says, well then, and this is the New Living Translation, so NLT. Paul says, well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, meaning the Old Testament, the Torah, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Of course not. Don't you realize that you became that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. I love what Paul says there. Right? You become a slave of whatever you choose to obey. That is powerful. And that is very, very powerful. I know that even we could just break down a whole entire message and talk for 30 minutes on that point alone, that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey. And that's why my first point, what we're going to talk about first, is that everyone has a master. Okay. And again, this is saying that everyone is obedient to something. You, everyone on this call, we are all obedient to something. We all have a master. You become the slave of whatever you choose to obey. And Paul is saying that just because you're free from the law by God's grace, that doesn't mean you just get to go do whatever you want now. That would actually mean you're still a slave to sin, right? You are obeying the human flesh, your desires. That means you are still a slave to the old way. But Paul says you have a new master. You have a new way of living, and that is living in obedience to God. As Paul says, if you follow whatever you want to do now, right? You're actually, in a sense, you're kind of putting yourself in God's place, right? Because you're following yourself. You're saying, I can choose what's best for myself. I'm my own master. I'm my own person to follow. What I don't have to surrender my life to anybody. I live for myself. That's pride. That is pride. That is sin, right? So all of this is going to go back to us following something, right? So at any point in your life, you are either obeying sin or obeying God. Think about anything in your life that you are choosing to do, right? If you are following guilty pleasures, you're following sin. You're obeying that path, right? If you are following God, right? There's just, if you, I don't know specific examples of what maybe that is in your life, but if you think about the decision, the decisions that you are making in your life, is that decision leading you closer to God, or is it leading you farther away from God, right? Now, there are some things where it's like, is brushing my teeth necessarily leading me closer to God? Well, and is it leading me closer to sin? Well, no, not really, like those kinds of things. But if you think about bigger decisions, right, things that impact not just yourself, but other people and so on, right? So another way to put this, or another way to think about this, is that anytime you're not following the light, not following Christ, you're following darkness. Anytime you're not following the light, you're following the darkness. And so either way, whatever that looks like, you are obedient to something. Okay? Look at what Jesus says in John chapter 8. And this is verses 34 to 36. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. It's like Paul knew exactly what Jesus had said, right? It's like he heard of what Jesus had said, right? He says, a slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the son sets you free, you are truly free. Okay? So we are all sinners under the law. We are all a slave to sin, just as Paul said. But Jesus says, if he sets you free, ultimately, right? He says, if he sets you free, you will be truly free in grace and truth. You will be free in grace. You will be free in the truth of Jesus Christ. And even more with this verse specifically that just came to my mind right now as I'm looking at this, right? Jesus says, a slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the son of the family sets you free, you're truly free because he's part of that family. Okay, so even in the context of this kind of relationship between slave and free, slave and master, Jesus is saying that even if the son sets you free, you are free, meaning that himself, right? He is part of God's family. So if he is part of that family, you will truly be free. Now let's go back to Romans, okay? Picking up back in verse 17. So thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now, everyone just put in the chat, but now, if you are just put in the chat, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Again, Paul's saying the same thing again. You're free from your slavery to sin, and now you have become slaves to righteous living. And he goes on to say, because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Right? So again, Paul's explaining why he's talking about this language. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led even ever deeper into sin. He says, now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. Does this sound repetitious, or is this just me? This sounds like Paul is saying the same thing over and over and over again. But he's using this illustration to drive a point home that he's saying you are no longer a slave to sin. You are no longer giving yourself into impurity and sinfulness and lawlessness. Now you are giving yourself to something greater. Okay, verse 20, he says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. That's kind of funny. Paul has a sense of humor. He's saying, when you were a slave to sin, you didn't have to do anything right. Like you were not required to do anything right. You were not required to follow one way or the other. You could just do whatever you wanted to. And but he says, and what was that result? He says, now you're ashamed of those things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom or eternal death. But now, there we go again. Put it back in the chat. But now you are free from the power of sin. Everybody say, but now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. I almost think I should go back and double check to make sure I did not copy and paste the same thing, the same verses to the same slides, because this all sounds the same, right? And again, Paul is saying all this. He's saying that when you obey God, you're not just obeying from your mind, right? You're not just following your mind, but you're obeying from your heart, because there was something that happened when Christ lived within you, right? He's telling this Roman audience that when Christ came into your life, that now there's something that happened in your heart that you want to obey God. You want to do what is right, right? You are following this pattern of teaching from Jesus, to learn from him, to follow in his ways, to learn from him, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that means that, yes, he is the way to eternal life, but that also means he's the way to live this life. He's the truth of how to live this life. And he is the life that gives us eternal life, right? Paul says, you are free from sin. You are slaves to righteous living. Isn't that interesting? Slaves to living according to the ways of Christ. But it's like this weird kind of thing that Paul says, you were a slave to this one thing, but now you're a slave to another thing. But actually being a slave to this next thing, right? To righteous living, to righteousness, to God, actually leads to more freedom. And we're going to talk about that here in just a moment as well. And so righteous living, when Paul uses language about righteous living, it's not that you live this way so that you can gain salvation. No, it's actually, that's already happened. You've already been given salvation through faith alone in Jesus Christ. But Paul means that you are living now to be a light of Christ in the darkness, so that others can know who Christ is, so that others can see the difference in you, so that they can see that, hey, I used to hang out with them. I used to do all these crazy things with them, but now they don't do that anymore. What is different? What has happened in their lives? And I want to know about that, right? We live righteously. We do the good deeds in our life so that other people can know about God, so that other people can see what we're doing and know about him more. So again, this whole language that Paul is using is so, so interesting. Paul says, you are no longer a slave to this thing, but now you're a slave to this thing. You are no longer a slave to your old life. You are no longer a slave to sinful ways. You are no longer a slave to sin itself. Now you are a slave to God. And maybe you're asking on this call, you're like, well, if I'm a slave to God, then I still don't have that freedom, right? But there's actually a choice in this. Okay. So the next thing is that you actually get to choose. Okay. You get to choose. You get to choose who you're following. Look back again at 22, right? But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. Do we always get this right? Do we always get this right? No, we do not. We do not always get things right in this Christian life. And that's where God's grace comes in as Christ followers, as people who are in Christ, as people who are new creations in Christ. There's this grace that we have because we don't always get it right. We're not always going to do things that lead to holiness. We're not always going to do things that result in us becoming more like Christ. But that's where the difference is. That's where this difference is, that when we are free from the power of sin, we are no longer doing things that lead to more sin, right? And it means I don't have to do these things anymore. I don't have to do things that are sinful. I don't have to follow my sinful desires anymore. Okay, because now you have the power to overcome sin by the power of the Holy Spirit living within you, right? And this freedom means that you get to choose who you obey and who you follow. So again, let me say this one more time, that anytime you're not following the light, you're following the darkness. And again, I don't know what that may be for you in your life. It's going to look different for every single person, right? But there is the possibility that we become free completely from this power of sin. And Paul actually talks about this, how we can overcome this power of sin in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. That's great to hear too, that you're not alone in your temptations. You are not alone in what others are experiencing either. You're not the only one dealing with this sin. That's great news, y'all. That you don't have to do this alone. You can go to other people, basically, right? And he says, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Man, that's amazing. I've shared this with maybe some of you on the call. I've talked about this before, how you have the power to resist and overcome temptation and sin because God will give you a way out. Paul is saying that these temptations in life, we've all experienced it. Jesus experienced them and overcame them, right? That's why God is so faithful. He's not going to let you be tempted beyond what you can stand. He's not going to tempt you so much that you literally have no power to make a choice about it. God says, and Paul says, when you are tempted, God will show you a way out so that you can endure. And so I want, if you are writing notes, if you are just, this is a verse y'all need, every single one of us, for our lives, right? 1 Corinthians 10:13, write this down because this is powerful. If you can remind yourself in a time of temptation, if you can remind yourself when you are wanting to go back to sinful ways, if you can take a moment to say, Lord, give me a way out. I promise you, he will give you a way out because his word says so. His word says so. Okay, so write this down, 1 Corinthians 10:13, before we move on to this next thing, because this next part, super interesting as well, because when I think about choosing, when I think about choosing sin versus choosing freedom, I think of the story of Jacob and Esau in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis. Okay, I'm not going to explain the whole story because it's too long. We don't have enough time, unfortunately, to go into this in depth. But man, if you are wanting to read more about Jacob and Esau, go to Genesis. I think it actually starts in like 24, 5, 6, somewhere around there, perhaps. But what we're going to read is what happens in this story. So basically, the context that I want to talk about is Isaac is giving a blessing to Jacob and Esau, right? In this tradition, there was this inheritance that the firstborn would receive a double portion of the inheritance of whatever the father owned, and then it would go down from there, right? But Jacob, right? So Jacob and Esau are the two brothers who are the sons of Isaac and Rebekah. So this verse comes after Jacob has deceived his father into giving him the blessing that Esau rightfully deserved. And so this is here what Isaac says after everything kind of comes undone and they realize, oh my gosh, you're not Esau. You're actually Jacob. What's going on here? Really, really good story. Okay. But this is what it says. Isaac is saying to his son, Esau, he says, you will live by your sword and you will serve your brother. But when you decide to break free, you will shake his yoke from your neck. And that is the important part about this, right? That we often miss when we read through this scripture is Isaac says, when you decide to break free, meaning Isaac says, you have a choice, Esau. It's not just that now you have no choice in your life, but to serve your brother and to live by his word. Isaac says you have a choice. It is Esau's choice to live in bondage to his brother, to be free or not. It's his choice to be free or not, to live in this fear, to live in guilt, to live in condemnation and oppression and all of these different things. Isaac says, when you decide, it is a decision that Esau has to make. Just as it is a decision for each of us to make in the face of temptation, it is a decision that we have to make in a moment to say, I'm not going to go back to my old ways of being bound again. I'm not going to go back to being bound by sin anymore. It's not going to have any power in my life. Isaac says, you can live that way, Esau, or you can decide to break free and live a life that is free from any of this. All right. Now, fast forward in this story, because the story is not done there. Fast forward in this story, Jacob has lived some life. Esau has lived some life. They've gone their separate ways. And now here it is. Jacob and Esau are coming back together. They are going to meet each other. This is a crazy moment. Jacob is afraid. Here's what happens, right? Jacob's like, oh my gosh, Esau is going to kill me. There's no way he can forgive me after what I've done to him when I stole everything from him, I betrayed him. It says, then Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. And they both wept. You do not react this way to someone who has deceived you, who has stolen your inheritance, who has betrayed you, has turned their back on you, basically said, you are no good to me. You are dead to me. You do not react this way unless you are truly free. Unless you're truly free. Esau figured it out. Esau figured it out. I know Esau later goes on to make nations and stuff that go far away from God and stuff. But in this moment, Esau figured it out that I am going to break free from my brother's yoke. I'm going to break free from this yoke of bondage, of slavery to sin, because I don't have to choose to live that way. Right? And it's interesting because, again, the parallels in this to Jesus and to the gift of God is so amazing, because it says in verse 8, here in Genesis 33, it says, "And what were all the flocks and herds I met as I came?" This is Esau asking Jacob, because Jacob sends a bunch of gifts ahead of him saying, well, maybe I can appease, maybe I can earn my favor, maybe I can earn my right standing back and reconcile with my brother so that he won't kill me, right? And Jacob replied, "They are a gift, my lord, to ensure your friendship." And Esau says, "My brother, I have plenty. Keep what you have for yourself," right? Esau says, I have plenty, man, like not just in wealth either, but I truly believe because God was with Esau, because Esau found freedom with God. Esau found freedom from this bondage that he didn't have to live in anymore. Esau says, "I'm good. I've got lots of wealth, but I've got freedom. And that's all I don't need anymore." Esau said, "I will not be a slave to this anymore." At some point, and we don't know when, at some point, Esau decided, Esau chose to follow a different master, not sin, right? And so all of that saying, like Esau said, he's going to accept something that would give him life and freedom. That leads us to the last verse of Romans chapter 6, the very last verse in this chapter, verse 23. And y'all, if we have talked to you on the phone, you've heard this. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord." Okay. And the reason why I had to go all the way back to verse 15 is because Paul's starting this by saying, "For the wages of sin," he's been talking about something this entire time. He has been talking about the wages of sin. He's been talking about how living a life where you are choosing to follow sin leads to death, eternal separation from God. But y'all, this is the gospel. This is literally the gospel in one verse. This is amazing. What you earn with sin is death, but God gave us a free gift through Christ, through Jesus. What's ironic, again, what's so ironic about this verse, about this being the gospel, is that Paul's talking to people who are most likely slaves, meaning they don't earn any wages or pay. But again, Paul's using all this as an illustration and saying that when you work for sin, right? Because they maybe probably understand this better than we do. When you work for sin, when you follow sin, when you give in to your flesh, when you follow and give in to sin, your reward is death and eternal separation from God. That's not a very good reward, y'all. That is not a very good reward. But luckily, there's more to this, right? Because Paul could have gone this whole time saying all of this and then just stopped there. For the wages of sin is death. But luckily, God had a different plan. Luckily, there was hope, right? Coming. Because working for sin only leads to working for more sin, right? If you just tell one little white lie, right? If you just lie one little time about this one little thing, well, that's going to lead to more lying and more lying and more lying. That's the trick that the devil plays, right? He says, it's just a little thing. It's just a little tiny seed. Just go ahead, do this one thing. Just lie about this thing. Lie about your finances, lie about how much experience you have. Just be selfish, right? Just go after what you want. Just do everything in your life that you want. It's all about you. You deserve something. You deserve some good things in this life. You should be worshipped, actually. People should be bowing down to you and following you. It all starts as one little lie. It all starts as one little seed that the devil will plant inside of you that actually will reap more sin. And it continues. I mean, whatever you, I'm not going to, I don't know what's going on in your life, but God does. And you do, fill in the blank. And sometimes you might have to go to the Bible and say, is this truly sin? Is this truly something that I am, that is drawing me and pushing me away from God? Or is it not? Right? So again, the last point from this, from the gospel, everything that we've said up to this point, right? There is something, there's got to be hope. There's got to be something that brings life back to us, and that there is true freedom in Christ. Again, under Christ, we are serving a new master. We're still slaves. All of us are slaves, every single one of us, to something. But under this new master, under Christ, Right? When we are under him, the one who came to show us the way, to be the truth, to give us new life. True freedom in Christ is actually serving him. It's still being a slave, but now to righteousness, a slave to righteousness, as Paul says, to Christ, who became our righteousness on the cross. Right? And by being in Christ, you have more freedom than you have ever had before in your life. I want you to know that. That yes, it's like, oh, well, I can't do this thing. I can't do that thing. Yeah, because that's going to lead to a worse situation for you. Eternal life in this life as well. There are consequences to our sins. So serving this master, serving Christ, being under, being a slave, being submitted to him, being obedient to Christ is what gives you true freedom. No other religion gives you freedom. No other way of life gives you freedom. No other sinful desire, sinful pleasure gives you freedom. It might feel like it does, but it does not. So again, it's so interesting to look back at this parallel between Jacob and Esau, right? And seeing this parallel between them and what Jesus came to do. Jacob's sending all these gifts. Jacob's trying to earn his way back to his brother, but he couldn't because Esau had already forgiven him. Jacob was trying to buy his way back and to earn, buy it back. I'm going to send all everything I have, everything. Esau says, I don't need any of that. I've already forgiven you, actually. Before they even embraced, Esau at some point said, I actually forgive you for what you did. And if you want to do a deeper dive, I want you to write down Luke 15. Okay, if you want to do a deep dive into this story between Jacob and Esau, it is so rich. There's so much in it. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you, just see the parallels in this, because Jesus tells another parable about two brothers in Luke 15, one who receives the inheritance and then leaves and goes off and does his own way, and does his own thing, only to return later, right? But there's a difference in how these two brothers engage in Jesus's parable. And so he's trying to tell us something through this, right? So again, think about when Isaac is giving this blessing and he says, when you decide you want freedom, you can have it because it's already been given to you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that Isaac tells Esau, when you decide to be free, you can be free. And y'all, the same is true for all of us today. When you decide that you want to be free from the power of sin, you can be free because Christ has already paid that price for you. There is nothing you can do to earn it. There is nothing you can do to deserve this gift that God has given to us except to receive Jesus into your life. And I want to show you again what Paul said in Galatians 5 about this, about being free. He says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free, not for slavery, not for death, but for freedom. Eternal life with him, freedom from sin, freedom from having to do that thing, even though you don't want to. Don't go back to your old master of sin. Don't be burdened again by the yoke of slavery when Christ has already promised you freedom through him, because you can't pay it back. And there's nothing that is required of you except to receive him into your life as your Lord and Savior, to make him your new master and to submit fully and follow his ways. Paul is saying, don't go back to that. Don't go back. You don't need to. You are free from that power. With Christ, you are free from that power of sin, because there is a greater power who came, who overcame sin and death and the grave. There's a greater power. I want to read one last chunk of scripture from Romans 8. All right. Paul says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Is Paul saying the same thing? Or like, again, you've been freed from the power of sin that is leading you to death, to eternal separation from God. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirements of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. That is so good. That is so good. If you are in Christ, there's no condemnation for your sin because Christ has forgiven you of all of your sins when he died on the cross one time. And again, you can find true freedom in Christ because of what he has done. Because of what he has done, not by anything else or anything else in this world that you could ever try to find. God gave us this gift of Jesus Christ as a living sacrifice for our sins so that the requirements of the law, this is what Paul says, so that what was required of us, there was a requirement that we could not uphold. It was fulfilled for us through Jesus Christ. He did all of it. He came. He was the perfect example who lived to take on sin, to become sin, so that he who knew no sin could become sin for us, so that we may be reconciled to God. And so now we do not follow this sinful nature anymore, but we follow the Spirit of Jesus Christ. My question, which master are you following? Again, we will not always get this right. I can't say that enough. Like we're not always going to get this right. And that's okay because God has given us grace. He has given us freedom in Christ. He has given us forgiveness already, but we have the power to choose. We all are serving some sort of master. We are all serving something or another, someone. We are obeying something. We are following sin. We are following God. Who are you following? Are you following the light? Or are you following darkness? Are you following your sin and your pleasure and what you think you want? Or are you following the Spirit of God, who knows what you need in your life? Are you following the master of sin? Or are you following the master Jesus? And some of you, this is a time when you say, man, I've been following sin. I know Jesus. I've accepted him before, but I actually need to get back in right standing with God, right? This may be a day for you to rededicate your life to Christ. Or for some of you, you're saying, I don't know Jesus at all. I have no freedom because I've never accepted Jesus. I've never invited him in to be my personal Lord and Savior. I don't have that relationship with him. And if that's you, this is a time when we are going to say a prayer together that you can have freedom, that sin will no longer have power and control over you. But now from this day forward, you will have eternal life and the power of sin will be broken over your life. You will decide in this moment that the power of sin will no longer have a yoke upon you. That instead you will have Jesus's yoke upon you, who said, and Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The burden's light because he's taken the burden of sin for us. His yoke is easy because he's working alongside us and we're working alongside each other. So I'm going to present the gospel and then we're going to pray. So again, all of us, we've all gone astray. We've all turned to our own way. We've all followed something else other than Christ at some point. But thanks be to God that when God sent Jesus to die on the cross, he caused the entire sin of the world. Last week, Ada talked about this in such a powerful way. Every single sin through human history was laid upon Jesus in one moment. That is incredible. That is unfathomable for us as human beings. We can't imagine what Jesus suffered on the cross, but he did that for us so that we could have a relationship with him. And here again, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So again, these wages that we earn, the things that we are following, they earn us eternal separation from God. Now we are all sinners. We don't always get this right. We are all sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Right? We're all heading this way. There's bad news. We are all heading towards eternal separation from God, and that's the bad news. Well, the good news of the gospel, and what, again, the hope that we can live in, is that God loves us so incredibly much and wants a relationship with us. Every single one of you on the call, God loves you so very much, and he wants this relationship with you. He sent Jesus so that none of us would die and have eternal death, but that we would all have life through Jesus. Jesus died one time on the cross for the forgiveness of all of our sins so that we could be made right and in God's sight again, so that we could be reconciled to him through his death and resurrection, that we could have this eternal life again. And that cross is what made the difference. The cross is the but. The cross is the saying that we were heading one way, but God made a different way through Jesus. And if you have never accepted Jesus into your life, if you have never made the decision to say, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life, I surrender my life to you, this is a moment for you to pray with us. We're all going to pray together. This is your moment. Or if you are saying, I need to get back on the right path with God, if you are saying, I want to actually rededicate my life to Christ, I've known him before, but I've strayed away, this is also a time when you can say something like this as well and rededicate your life. So let's say this together. Father God, I know that I am a sinner and that I need you to forgive me. I know that your son Jesus died a painful death and rose again so that my sins could be washed clean. Thank you, Jesus. I want to make you the Lord of my life, and I will trust and follow you. Everything I have is yours now. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining our Purpose Founder podcast. If you made a decision for Christ today, fill out the link below and let us know so we can send you a free devotional and get connected with you. We also want to remind you to join our Facebook discipleship page and get connected with us and people all around the world. Until next time, we'll see you soon.